job there, Ray, for singing that. Whoever requested did a good job. Have your Bibles open, and the subject this morning is He, Lord of all your life. I think there is a great misnomer, a childlike understanding of the Word of God from some people that when we get saved, therefore we're saved and going to heaven, which is true if you really got saved, you really accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, but then that you just do whatever you want to. And the book of Romans chapter 5 is all about God's grace, and we just sing about how God's grace saves us and that wonderful grace. But the very first verse of Romans chapter 6, the next chapter says, and I'm paraphrasing it, but to your understanding a little bit, and when you see it, you will want to read it, that shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. God forbid that we'd do that. So we want to talk about Him being Lord of all of our life. I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, some people think they have a secular life, and then they have a religious life, and they put on their clothes and come to church, and that means they're a Christian, and then they go back out into the secular world, and they change their clothes back, and they live another life. We have one life, and that's the life to give to Christ and His Lordship. The Bible says, and it's in the Old Testament and the New, and I've chosen a passage from the New Testament when the Lord said it, we must love the Lord the God with our whole being, every fiber of us. When I'm working, when I'm at play, when I'm with my friends, when I'm enjoying some casual event out there or some great event, I'm still God's child and I'm still loving the Lord and putting Him first in my life. I'm supposed to. We're supposed to. Luke 10:27, and the answer said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, that's the command to us as children of God. And salvation comes and we accept Christ. By the way, every place in the Bible where Jesus' name is used in the conjunction with you accepting Him and being a Savior, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Jesus Christ, but the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning I now take Him. I'm afraid too many who think they're Christian never came to a place in their life where they were so desperate to be saved that they said, I now submit myself to your lordship and I want you to save me. I think that has to come, and whether that feeling, that thought, or those words are there or not depends upon whether you really got saved or not. It's more than joining church. It's more than being baptized. It's more than just saying, I want to be part of the crowd. It's more than that. And the attitude of some of those people is, well, the church is just there for me, not me there for the church. Many people think that. I don't get as many calls as I used to be because the word gets around, but I get calls. We'd like to use your church, your facility for this or that, some worldly event they're having. I'm saying, but you don't understand. This is God's house. We don't do things that way. We get this attitude that we have that secular life and God just supposed to accept us the way we are, and we're not going to be changed by the grace of God as well as be saved by the grace of God. That's why He said in John chapter 1, verse 17, 16 and 17, He said He's given us all grace for grace. Grace to get saved by, grace to live by, and to grow by into the spiritual Christian that God wants us to be. First point, we must be saved and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. There is something about that name. A songwriter has written a song, there's something about that name. That name changes us. Paul said, I still do a lot of things I used to do, but I'm not the person I used to be. I'm not what I ought to be, but praise God, I'm not what I used to be. And praise God, I'm not what I'm going to be someday when I come before Him. Amen? We must be saved. Acts 15:11 says, and we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. We all come at the same ground, at the same level, with the same need. Regardless of whether we were a great sinner or a little sinner, it doesn't matter. It takes the grace of God to save us and make us what God wants us to be. We can't work our way into the church. We can't work our way into heaven. We can't work our way into salvation or acceptance to whatever it is that we think God wants us to be. We're saved by grace. We're kept by grace. But we must make sure that we really accept that the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And I now give myself to you. I give my all to you. And you take first allegiance and ownership of my life from this point on.
Amen.
And we all at times slip and take away that lordship. But the instant we do it, we realize the coldness. We realize the worldliness that has gotten a grip on us or whatever it is that pulls us away from Him, and we want back to that. There's no place like being out of place with Jesus. That awful feeling that I'm not in the comfort of God. I'm not in the power of God. I'm not in the wisdom of God. I'm not with God's people. I'm not there, and I want to be. There's nothing as desperate as that kind of feeling. And people to go to great lengths and do awful things when that happens. When the Philippian jailer, after the earthquake, when Paul and Silas had prayed and sang hymns to God. By the way, when you pray and sing hymns to God, your trials and your tribulations sometimes seem to disappear. And theirs disappeared. And they came running to Paul and Silas and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Notice their response. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." He didn't say, "Accept Jesus Christ, go to the church, do what they ask you, and that's it." He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." The thief on the cross would never make it to the church house. He would never make it to the baptismal pool. But thank God he made it to Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ came into his life. Since the Lord Jesus Christ came into my heart and life. So we are saved, and we must accept the Lord Jesus Christ. There is something about that name that's different. The world despises that name. The world hates that name. And when we live in the world, that's where we live out our Christianity, where the world sees what a Christian is really like. We must have and will have power through that name. People say, "Well, how do we live in this world and not be a part of it? How do we get along in this world and go through this world and not get entangled with the affairs of the world? The world doesn't treat us right. The world hates us." There is some power to resist the temptations and the things that goes on in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why it's important. The word Jesus, by the way, means Savior. The word Lord means master or owner. Christ means the Messiah, the one that God promised would come. That's why those names are important to us. In 1 Corinthians 5:4, it says, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ," notice the word emphasized again, Lord, "when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ." By the way, he says there's something important about gathering like this in the power of his name. He even tells us not to forsake the self of our coming together, as some do, and want to be a Christian. It is very difficult. It's like saying to your wife, "We're going to get married. We're going to have a grand old marriage. We're going to spend a lot of money, and I'm going to buy you a great big diamond, and you're going to have lots of fancy gifts. But you're going to live in this house, and I'm going to live in this house." That doesn't sound right, does it? But that's how some people want to treat Christ. And the Bible says that we're the bride, we're married to Him. And when He says, "Come ye into my house," the Bible says, "I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord." He didn't say, "Oh, well, and see, since you say to this wife now," I'm back to my illustration, "I'll come by and see you once in a while. I'll come by and check on you once in a while. And you may stop over once in a while if you want to, but you don't really have to." You say, that sounds like a crazy mixed up idea. But we don't have the power sometimes because we're not assembling ourselves together as God has requested that we do. This is what Christ died for, the body of Christ. I'm not necessarily talking about the building, although he did say it will be the pillar and ground of truth. We hear all kinds of junk out there. We hear all kinds of stuff out there. We need to come to a place where we hear the truth and get anchored in the truth and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to get the understanding, the wisdom, the love, the power, the help, the concern, and the fellowship of one another in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the power begins to work in our life. It's just like taking the sweeper and running it in here. And it's difficult to do without the cord being plugged into the electricity and the power surging through the cord. I fear many of us are trying to live out a life without the power of God, the Holy Spirit, surging through us. God has promised if there's just two people that meets at the church, that He will send the Holy Spirit power to those two. And if more are there, the same thing. God wants to give us the power. He said for them to assemble in the upper room, and they assembled in the upper room, and then the power of God met with them. God says, I will meet with you when you meet with me. But if you don't meet with me, I don't meet with you. And then you drag on days without meeting with God and God's church, and you go on and you get weary and you get tired and you get irritable and you get mad and you get problems and you wonder, where's it all start? God says, plug in to the power source of God in Jesus Christ. Amen? We must have that power. We sing about, Lord, give us the old time power. Listen to me. God is just waiting to give you the power. God's not sitting up in heaven with His arms folded and saying, who could I put my power on today? I wonder who would want the power time power. I wonder who would want it. God is searching. His eyes is running to and fro, and He's looking for a source in this upside down crazy world that we live in. He's looking for somebody, one man. The Bible says God looked for a man and He couldn't find one man. He couldn't find one single man that would serve Him. God's still looking for men. The Marines are looking for a few good men. God's looking for any man, and He'll make him good, and God will fill him with the power to do His work. God's still looking for men to be His recipients of that old-time power. So we possess power through that name. Not any old people say when they go to some of these charismatic meetings, they dim the lights and the organ's playing the right kind of music. That is a feeling that we can get from the world. And the stadiums can rock and the sound can resonate and boom. I'm not talking about that. This power can come in the quietest times and in the most unknown places. But it's when we recognize Him as Lord of our life and He comes in and gives us that old-time power. Thirdly, we have fellowship with Jesus Christ through that name. It's very important we have fellowship with Him. Sometimes when we're out of touch with, you ever get in those days when maybe it's your family, maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your friends, maybe it's your fellow employee, and you just feel like everybody else is all messed up? You ever stop and think it might be you that's messed up? You're a little bit messed up. And you get to check in, when's the last time that you had fellowship with Jesus Christ alone? May I ask you a real childish question? When's the last time that you said to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I love you? Let's say it all together one time. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Now, how often and when was the last time you said, Lord Jesus, I thank you? Let's say it together. Lord Jesus, I thank you. And then you can start going down a list of what you need to thank Him for. You ever stop and think, with as crazy as this world is, would you rather live right here where you're living right now than any other place in the world? Thank you, Lord Jesus. And that was awarded you probably a decision you didn't get to make. God just chose you to be born an American citizen. And people are dying to get here and dying to get here to kill us, to die, make us die. And we should stop and thank the Lord God for that. When they were writing down here in Philadelphia, the United States Constitution, and they were having all those arguments, that's why they had to add all those amendments to it, because they were bringing up a lot of stuff that they didn't think was in the Constitution. They were having big fights. George Washington says, go home and pray. Go home and pray, and we'll assemble back at another time. Go back and pray. You know, we need, when our life is all out, say, I need some fellowship with the Lord. I need some fellowship with Jesus Christ. I need to eyeball. One of the things we do when we eyeball to eyeball the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do that by looking in His Word and praying, is saying, now, Lord, tell me what's wrong in my life. And some of us don't have the courage to do that, quite honestly. We need to have the courage to say to Him, what is wrong with me? I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm not talking about anyone else. I just want to know what's wrong with me and help me change what's wrong with me in my life. And I guarantee you everything else will be a lot better. We don't have to change people. Only God can do that. But we need to be willing to let God change us. We need fellowship. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, he says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship. Think about that. You were called by God. Once you're saved, He didn't just turn you loose out into the world. We don't have a baby come into the nursery, in the hospital, or wherever they're born, and say, okay, kid, make it on your own. No, we take that child into a home, and we have fellowship with the child. We teach the child. We train the child. We help the child grow, and we help meet his needs. The same thing is true with us when we get saved. We're all children, and we remain children at a different level growing, but in need of learning from God, and that's why we need the fellowship with Him. We need the fellowship of the morning service, the evening service, the Wednesday service, and to do the things that we've got to do and to get the things done, the car show and all, we need fellowship, because if we don't, we start coming unraveled and irritated about it because we haven't had fellowship with Jesus Christ. Fellowship. What a fellowship, the Bible says. We have that fellowship with Him. You were called unto that. God knew you needed that. God said, get into the fellowship. Have fellowship one with another. And you can't have fellowship one with another without me, He says. We see number four, we have peace through that name. Aren't you so happy about the world's going to come to an end because the president took us out of the peace accord at Paris? Our streets are going to be bloody. I mean, within a year, they're saying it's going to be horrible. You know what's going to set this world on fire? Is when Jesus comes back. And Chuck Schumer is going to be this deep in fire, and he's not going to be able to find an answer. And Nancy Pelosi and all those people, if they don't get saved, they're going to be in big hurting places. And Hillary's hair will be on fire. I promise you that. And if the judgment of this world never gets her, God's judgment will. I have peace in my heart knowing that. I have peace. Let her go. The longer she goes, the more severe God's going to be when He sets her world on fire. He will set your fields on fire. If to sin is your desire, you have heard Jesus' voice. Hey, God's going to do it, and they're not going to stop it. And sitting down at a bunch of people who don't know Jesus Christ and don't know straight up and straight down in pairs and signing a piece of paper is not going to stop it. And for us to pay trillions of dollars to people that don't want to do anything but laugh at us and take our money and kill us is stupid. God bless our President of the United States. Amen? God bless him. And do more. Do more. May his number increase. May the people keep on. And all the other things that's going on. We have peace. I have peace in my heart. I lay down. This could be the night. This could be the day that it'll begin a new morning, a new day for me. I have peace in my heart. I can sleep knowing that He is mine and I'm His. The Lord Jesus Christ has become my Savior. And His desire for me is to sin no more. But if I do, He has more grace to take care of it. And I don't willfully or plan sin because I love Him with all my heart and all my being. And when that love stops, I'm not having enough fellowship. So I need some more fellowship. I need a revival. I need to be preached to. I need somebody to tell me about God. Amen? Not just a gathering every now and then to get by, just a little nibble, to put in like, oh, I'm going to put in a half a gallon of gas, then go down to the next station and get some more. I'll put in, maybe put a gallon in that time. No, fill her up. I got a long journey. Fill up with God. You got a long journey. You got a hard journey. You got some big hills to climb. You need more of that octane in there. Get Jesus in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice this one, number five, we are kept blameless through that name. Boy, that's so wonderful. We could just preach here all day. We're blameless. Whatever I've done in my past life, whatever I'll do today that's wrong, whatever I'll do tomorrow, think, act out, is already covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I am blameless. My name has been written down, the Lamb's Book of Life. My sins are blotted out. They're gone, 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 buried in the deepest sea. Praise God, that's good enough for me. I'm blameless and kept blameless by Jesus Christ. And when the devil brings up something and walks into God and says, look what he did, Jesus puts up his hand and said, that's covered by my precious blood. Amen, amen. And who would not want to get in the church and praise God for Him doing that for you if you didn't know what else He did for you? But that's what He did. He says you're blameless through that name of the Lord Jesus. But you're not blameless in the other name. That's why the Islamic people are miserable. That's why they want to kill people. That's why they want to do dastardly things. They don't have any peace in their heart. They're just anger, filled with anger and hatred. And that's what's wrong with Chuck Schumer. He's just angry. He's angry. And you know that symbolic cutting off of Trump's head? You know what that's all about? That's against Christianity. That's what the Islamic people, those terrorists are doing. That's how they kill Christians over there, chop their heads off. That's what that woman was saying for. Do more of this kind of stuff. That's the message she was giving out. And now, they're mad at me. Watch, slap her up the side of the head or something. I mean, lock her up for 1,000,000 years, whatever. She should be put away. Insane, right? I mean, we just do the stupidest things and then get mad when people call them stupid. Well, what do you call stupid? Stupid. You call stupid, stupid, right? Oh, little honey child made a mistake. Little woman, I mean. And do you ever notice how ugly some of those people are? I'm sorry. I mean, she's not even pretty, is she? I mean, and neither is Hillary. I'm telling you, she was hit with an ugly stick. I think at birth, I think she was marked, honest. And poor Chelsea, she got it from both sides. I mean, she is really bad. My wife's giving me the zip-up sign, but I'm on a roll. I think I'll stay there. I think they're pretty ugly, to be honest. That's just my opinion. But what do you call ugly? You call ugly, ugly. You call stupid, stupid. You can't say, oh, they're just different. They're just different. Yeah, they're different. We're blameless through that name. Who shall also, 1 Corinthians 1:8, who shall also confirm you unto the Lord that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blameless! The Lord Jesus Christ. If I let Him be my Lord, He says, I am blameless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore, the songwriter said. He's taken them. They're gone, gone, gone. As far as the east is from the west. One little geography. You know why he said as far as the east is from the west and not the north from the south? You could start at the North Pole, and if you keep traveling, you go to the South Pole, that direction. But if you start going east, you'll always go east. If you start going west, you'll go west. You can't ever catch it up. That's why he used that illustration. The Bible is so good. It's geographically correct. It's biblically correct. It's correct in every way you could think of. Science. The scientists need to study the Word of God. Says the Bible says he took the earth and he took the star and hung it over an empty... That's a north star. Never moves. You ever know that? Just spins right around. That's why you can hone in on it and travel to it. All the rest of them are moving. The Bible's true. And hung it over an empty space. He sees and knows all about it. Knows everything that's going on. Got it all in control. Until the day His Son comes down, and then He's going to unleash His chaotic judgment upon this world. And those that left here will receive the wrath of God upon them. Peter said the earth will melt with a fervent heat. And Chuck Schumer won't do one thing to stop it. Nor Bill Clinton, nor Al Gore. Now there's, you can write stupid on him, really. I mean, really, I'm just saying it. He's stupid. And he said, he created the internet. Why? How is it these Democratic vice presidents always think they're so smart? And what's the one now? Or Obama's vice president? Yeah, he said I'm the smartest vice president there's ever been. I said, oh man, that is really funny, isn't it? He's the smartest man that's ever been. He said that. He said he's the smartest man. Wow. We have victory. Number 6 through the name. Victory. We need victory every day of our life over sin. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, most of us want little baby Jesus. Because little baby Jesus doesn't do anything but just let us hold Him. And it's nice little baby Jesus. I got news for you. Baby Jesus grew up and became a man. And he said, I'll be your Lord and Savior. You can't get him as Savior without getting him as Lord. We want to just get in anyway. We try to come in the back door carrying a little baby Jesus doll. No, don't work with God. You come in the front door through the blood of Jesus Christ on your knees, bowing to His Lordship in your life. No man can direct your life, but Jesus Christ can. In conclusion, the Lord Jesus Christ is all we need. He's all we need. The Bible says He's able to supply your needs according to His grace and mercy in heaven. He gives us everything that we need. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We have everything we need. Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior today? Is He Lord of all your life? Everything in your life? You know, I equate our heart to having little rooms. And it's like our house. We have a master key that fits every little room. And some of us, I think, in our heart, we have these little rooms where we have this little stuff. And we don't let anybody in there. When we hand Him the master key ring and say, "You're Lord of all my life, my social life, my family life, my work life, my financial life, every bit of, You're part of all of it. I'm going to write a tithe check for this amount, but I really got a little extra income over here and I'm keeping the records in that room and nobody knows about it." Hello? Lord of all your life. Lord of everything. I give You everything, God. Let Him have complete control. Then you have the peace and the power and the fellowship. Praise God. Praise God. Are you a Christian? Amen. Have you been saved? Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We thank You for the day when we bowed and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into our heart and life. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that's never taken Him as Lord and Savior, they would do so now. Trust Him as their Lord and Savior, to be their personal Savior, as the Lord of their life. Lord, that we might have victory, we might have peace, we might have fellowship. In that precious, precious holy name. As the instruments begin to play, I want to extend an altar to You that You would say, "I'm not sure if I really took Him as my Lord. I know I asked Him to save me, but did I accept His Lordship over my life?" And you know by your daily life if you've done that. When you say, "This is my things. This belongs to me. This has nothing to do with my Christian life." Then you need to say, "Lord, I want You as Lord of my life. I want You to be Lord of everything in my life." Slip down to this altar and make sure if you have any doubts about that and say, "I want Him to be Lord of all in my life." Because if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. He doesn't take a piece of you at a time. He takes you all at one time. He takes all of you. "Lord, take all of me. Take every bit. My mind, my heart, my soul. Lord, give me only Jesus." While we wait, maybe you're here and you say, "Pastor, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure I feel comfortable going down there, but I would like to raise my hand and ask you to pray for me. Because there are areas and times when I let that Lordship get in the way, and I don't want that. Pray for me." Would you slip up your hand and say, "Pray for me. I raise my hand. Pray for me. Pray for me." Because there's times when I find myself wanting to pull that away, the authority of my life, and take it from the Lord Jesus Christ. "Whiter than snow," our invitation hymn, the altar is still extended to You. 310, "Whiter than snow."
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast down every bone. Now watch me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Test before we go. How many of you think it's too cool in here? How many of you think it's too hot? Well, how many of you think we ought to leave it set right where it is? Thank you very much. It does seem cool when you first come in, but when you get everybody in here and turn the lights on, it's a little different story. So you can't be jacking it up and down. You know what I mean? I want one of those automobiles where you have two controls, right? But I'm glad you like it. I thought about what my wife was saying. Shut up. Maybe I shouldn't publicly say it, but it's true. I can't help it. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said all that stuff. But if you want to see beauty, look at some of these ladies in this church. And then go look at them, and you'll say the same thing. Right? Amen. Amen. Let's look to the Lord and be dismissed in prayer. Brother Johnny, would you have our closing prayer, please?
Almighty God in heaven.